you, Lord, tonight for everybody that's come this way. And Father, I just pray tonight that you would speak to hearts. And Father, that the illumination of the Holy Ghost, Father, would illuminate our hearts in the revelation of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, look with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The Lord spoke this to me a few weeks ago. I was sitting in a service, and that scripture came to me where it said, fight the good fight of faith. And when he said that to me, I realized that if you didn't fight, you wasn't going to win. In 2:12, six and 12. Let's read verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. But the word fight just stood out to me. And I just realized that I remember that there have been times over the years that the Spirit of God spoke to me. And I remember one time I was praying for a lady, and she was going through a divorce, and she was praying, believing God for her marriage and that it was going to work out. But her husband was doing everything he could. He was trying to divorce her and marry somebody else, but she was still praying and believing for God to give it, you know, to bring it back. And I remember I gave her a word, and I said, if you won't quit fighting, you're going to win. And you know what? She won. They signed the divorce papers. And before the divorce was final, he come back and fell on his knees, asked her to forgive him. They got back together, and they've been married now for 25 years. But see, God knows but what would have happened if she hadn't fought? See, if she would have just gave up and not fought, she would never got the prize. And the same thing's true. In life, we got to fight. But the thing of it is, we got to fight God's way. You know, we're not fighting with human reasoning. We're not fighting with fleshly power. We're fighting with the Spirit of the living God. You know, in the natural, you can understand spiritual things by natural things. In the natural, right now, my body is fighting to keep me alive. Your body, there's germs and bacteria. There's things that are trying to kill you all the time. But your body is constantly fighting to keep you alive, because if your body quits fighting, you're going to die. If your body quits fighting and if your immune system quits functioning like it was supposed to, because your immune system is a fighter. God created this body, and you can understand spiritual things by natural things. I mean, there's a parallel between them. And so, when God created this natural body, He created it to fight. There's killer cells in your body that will literally go through your body searching for cancer, disease, and when it finds certain things, when your body's healthy, it'll kill it and eradicate it out of your body. But what happens when your body gets, the immune system doesn't function right, it quits recognizing foreign things, and then it allows stuff to grow that's not supposed to stay there. But the immune system, life has a fight built into it. Your physical body has got life fights against death. And the same thing's true spiritually, that the life of God, when we are walking in the life of God, it's going to cause you to fight the good fight of faith. David said, I've ran through a troop and leaped over a wall. He said, by my arms a bow of steel is broken. But he was talking about how that God had strengthened him to fight in the natural. But the same thing's true in the spiritual. When we fight the good fight of faith, if you won't give up, you can win. Too many times people are, you know, I remember when they had that Iraqi war. And they called it shock and awe. When we went in and bombed the Iraqis for, I think, 30 days. They didn't even send no troops in. All they did was just bomb constantly, sending all these barrage of different bombs and all these new tech things that they had. And they bombed them for 30 days. And that was called shock and awe. And so then when they come in there, those men's will to fight was gone. As soon as they got there, they threw their hands up and surrendered. Because there was such a shock and awe from all the bombings and the stress and stuff that they saw and fear until it caused them to lose the will to fight. And the Lord showed me that what the enemy tries to do, he tries to get you through shock and awe of things in your life to cause you to lose the will to fight. See, if you lose the will to fight the good fight of faith, if you just start letting whatever happens happen in your life without fighting, without trusting God, then it's going to take you down a wrong pathway. It's going to take you captive. Just like we took those Iraqis captive because they gave up because of the shock. We didn't even have to fire a shot because they were so bombarded by things. And you know, there's things that can happen in your life that can discourage you. You can go through divorce. You can go lose a loved one. You can have financial problems and things that there's children. There's all kind of problems and things that can come in your life that can shock you and awe you to get you to a place to where you're willing, where you don't want to fight anymore. Where you just want to just go through life, just let whatever happens happen and hope it ends up good in the end. But you know what? You can't do that. You can't just let things happen the way they want to. The way that things happen sometimes, because some things that happen is not the will of God. Some things that are coming against you is we can't say, "Well, God let this happen to me, so I'm just going to give in to it." No. You got to be careful. You know, when God told Joshua, He said, "Be not dismayed." And that word dismayed means to be beaten down by violence. It means to be overwhelmed. It means to be terrorized. But he told Joshua, he said, "Be not dismayed." He said, don't let the enemy beat you down. Don't let yourself get in a state where you're dismayed or in a state where you don't want to fight. Because when you get in a place where you don't want to fight, then that means you're getting away from life. See, because I found out something, the more of the life of God you get on the inside of you, the more it puts a will to fight against the enemy. The more it makes you want to go in the name of the Lord. Because see, there's things that's trying to take you away from God. The enemy knows where the power lies at in your life. And he knows that your power lies in your walk with God. He's going to attack you. And he's going to try to separate you from God. The more one we are with God, the stronger we are. How many knows that when you got born again, when we got saved, there, you know, it's a lot of people's got this idea that the only reason that God saved us is just so he could take us to heaven. You know that when you got born again, that the only reason God saved us was because he just wanted us to go to heaven. But that's really not the whole reason why God saved us. The whole reason why He saved us was that He could come back and fill us. He said, "Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." And He said, "You will be filled with the Holy Ghost." And so when the gospel is not just the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, but it's also the coming back of Jesus. He said, because once he said, "When I go back to the Father," he said, "I'm going to send back a comforter, and he shall lead you and guide you into all truth." And so when he come, what the true gospel is that Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's when Jesus and us become so one that we are walking in his name, we're doing his will, we're doing his bidding. We have His authority, we have His power, we have His peace, we have His joy, we have His love, And the enemy doesn't, he's terrified that any person is ever going to come to a place where they become one with God. When they become one with the gospel of salvation that's through Jesus Christ, when you become one with who you really are, you know, your true identity, the more one you become with Him, the more dangerous you become. And so, one of the things you have to do, you have to fight for your identity. You have to fight for who you really are, because you ain't who you used to be. You are who you are in Christ Jesus. I used to say this, I don't know if I can still remember it now. You got to be who you is, because if you is who you ain't who you is. So you got to be who you is in God. You got to, you get that. The Bible says, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed after the image of Him that created him. And see, we've got to take our identity, because I want to tell you something. The devil done Jesus the same way. He come after His identity. When He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and the devil came to Him, what was the first thing He said? If you really are the Son of God. He was questioning His identity. He was questioning His identity. Who do you? If you really are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that comes out of the mouth of God. And then He took him up on the temple and He told him to jump off the temple. And He said, God will catch you in His hand. He said, He'll give His angels charge over you. And He said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Because you know what? Jesus was one with the Father. And then the devil realized he couldn't trick him up. And so he said, I tell you what, just bow down and worship me and I'll give you everything. And He said, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him. And then the angels came and ministered unto him. And then he went out and he began to minister. See, he knew who he was. He was fighting the devil. When the devil was coming against him and saying, if you was really the Son of God. But you know what? When the devil pulled out his sword, he said, if you're really the Son of God, turn His bread into stone. And Jesus pulled out His sword and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. He used His sword against him. And sometimes we have to use the word of God against the devil. Sometimes when things are coming against you, and I mean, the devil, he'll do the same thing to you just like he did Jesus. He wants you to go back. I mean, I can tell you right here, what the devil's plan is. He wants you to go back to who you used to be before you met Jesus. He wants you to go back to your old identity, because in that old identity there's no power. There's no anointing. He wants you identifying with who you used to be and not who you are in Christ. And he wants you to think of it that it's like a fairy tale, that it's not really real. But I want to tell you something. What I'm talking about is real. You know, Jesus told His disciples, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go in My name, cast out the devil. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall speak with new tongues. But why was He saying that? Because He said, go in My name. And you know what? When we're in His name, that means that we are one with Him. It means that I'm here. When you're in someone's name, it means that you're in their place. It means you are representing them. It means that you are the same as if they were there. So when you are in the name of Jesus, that's where you're your strongest. That's why He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Because the enemy is trying to move you away from eternal things to natural things. He tries to, and you know, one of the ways he does it is by trying to bring discouragement, to bring fear, to bring oppression, to bring things against you, to get you in a wrong state of mind. Because I want to tell you something, this is not human reasoning. You can't win this battle with human reasoning. You can't just reason and say, oh yes, I'll just think a lot and think about it and I'll figure it out. No, you won't. You can't overcome the devil by reasoning. You can only overcome the devil by walking in the name of the Lord. and putting on the power of the Holy Ghost in your life and praying in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, because the thing of it is, the Holy Ghost has come to lead us and to guide us into all truth, and He's going to, and you know what, there's a certain way that God wants you to fight. Did you know that even in the Old Testament, when David was going out to battle, God would tell him, don't move until you hear the mulberry bushes moving. Then send the men out. And they couldn't just go fight how they wanted to. They had to fight the way God said to do it. They had to do it when God said to do it. And you know what? When they tried to do it when God didn't tell them to do it, they lost. And see, the same thing, that's why He said fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is the fight that God's telling you how to fight. God is giving you what you need to fight with. But see, this is the thing about it. We've got to become confident that God is on our side, that we are one with God, that I am really am who God said I was. See, when you start getting confident in that, it causes boldness to come. The Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. Glory to God. But the enemy wants to cause us to doubt if God's really going to do what He said He would do. I remember I was preaching at the church and we had a baptismal service. And see, the thing about baptism is this is identity. Baptism is all about identity. Baptism is you're going down in the water, your old man is dying, you come up a new man in Christ. That's what it represents. That we're alone, that the old man is buried in that water. And the new man comes up. Well, I was preaching about that, and I was telling them, I said, when you die in here, when you go down that, if you got problems in your life, and I've seen people get healed in baptism. I've seen people get deliverance in baptism because they truly believe that old person is dead, and there's a new person coming up out of that water, and they begin to walk in it. And so I preached on that, and then when I got out, I was standing out front, and the Lord said, somebody that was baptized tonight has a serious disease or something like that, that if they will count this disease as part of the old man, they'll be healed. And when I said that, nobody didn't come up for a few minutes, and then all at once this lady come up, and she'd got baptized. I didn't know the lady. She was new. That was only the first time I'd met her at that baptism. She was there the week before that, but I was going on vacation, and so when I come back, she came the second time, and was baptized. And so when she came up, she said, I've got a tumor inside of me, and I'm supposed to go to the doctor tomorrow. And I said, well, if you'll count this as part of the old, and I believe that this is one of the areas where that I think sometimes some of our sicknesses is linked to the old. I'm serious. I'm really and truly. I think sometimes if we would just get rid of the old, we may get rid of some disease. And I'm not saying in every case, but she came up for prayer, and I prayed over her. She didn't fall out or jerk or anything. She just stood there, and we just prayed over, and I said, count this disease as part of the old. She went home and told her husband. Her husband was an agnostic. He didn't halfway believe in God, and so they went to the doctor the next day, and the doctor come in, he examined her, and he said, have you been to another doctor? And she said, no, you're my only doctor. And he said, well, where did the tumor go? And she said, I got baptized yesterday. And he said, that ain't got nothing to do with that tumor. He said, what happened to the tumor? She said, I got baptized at church. And he said, I don't want to hear nothing about God. It ain't got nothing to do with this. And then he left and walked out. He got mad. And she left, and her husband fell on his knees right there in the doctor's office and threw his hands up in there. An agnostic threw his hands up in the air and started praising God. So then they went home, and then 2 days later, I think it was, the doctor called back again and said, I want to know what happened to that cancer. And she said, I told you, doctor, I got baptized and said, and God healed me. He said, I told you I didn't want to hear nothing about God. It ain't got nothing to do with this. And said, you need to get you another doctor. And she and her husband grabbed the phone and said, "Look, if God healed her, she don't need no doctor." And so then, but you know what? A year later, the woman was still healed. She moved up north, but for a year later, the last time I seen her, she still had no cancer. But the reason I said that is if sometimes I think that maybe some of our problems are linked to the old. And if we'll just start counting that we are a new person in Christ Jesus, and the old has no power over me no more. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who lived and died and gave Himself for me." Glory to God. He said, "I am crucified." And he said, "The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Did you know that God's life is better than your life? No matter, you can think, "Well, if I had a bunch of money and if I had everything I wanted, I'd be so happy." No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be near as happy as you would be if you're full of the Holy Ghost and walking with God. You know, you would be, when you're in complete obedience to God, and you're the more one you are with God, the more peace you've got, the more joy you've got, the more everything you've got in your life, because that you are one with God. But the thing of it is, you have to fight. You have to fight the good fight of faith, because this thing is not, it's not for those that likes to give up. It's not for those that are wishy-washy and one day they're fighting and when the next day they give up. And you know, you got, God wants to put a backbone in you, and God wants to put a fight back in you. How many knows God wants to put a fight back in you? Did you know that when Samson got his hair cut, he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. He laid his head in the lap of Delilah. And he told her his secret, and he had already broken two of his things he wasn't supposed to do by touching a dead lion and drinking wine. And the only thing he hadn't done was he hadn't cut his hair. And that was the third thing a Nazarite was supposed to do. But he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. That was his identity. That was who he was. That was where his power lied, because he was one with God. But you know what? When his hair was cut, the enemy wanted to know what his secret was. Did you know the devil, he knows what your secret is. He knows that our secret is that if we're one with God, well, our dedication to God, that we're going to be strong. And so the first thing he did was cut his hair. And then he took him captive. Did you know that if you let the enemy cut off who what your true identity is, he'll take you captive. If you let the enemy talk you in to identifying with your old person instead of the new man, it's going to take you captive. But you know, even though Samson was taken captive by the enemy, the Bible said his hair began to grow back. It didn't say his hair growed out and then he got strong. It said it began to grow back. And when I saw that, I realized that, did you know the minute that you decide that you're going to be one with God, that you're going to rededicate yourself to God and to His kingdom, your strength starts coming back right then. You ain't got to wait 40 days and 40 nights before things can come back. It said when his hair began to grow back, his strength came. And he was able to push down the temple. And the Bible said there was more slew in his death than there was in his life. But see, the enemy tried to change his identity, but it came back. And I want to tell you something. The enemy is going to try to cut your hair off. He's going to try to cut you off your identity of who you are and try to remind you of who you used to be and what you used to do. And I mean, even though I've been saved for 40 years, I still, when I hear a song or something, I remember the last time I heard that song, I was in the honky-tonk. You know, the last time I heard that, I was doing this, or I was at a party, I was over there, and it's like, get out of my head, devil. You know, it's like the devil likes to remind you of your past. He wants to remind you and try to get you going down memory lane to go back to what you used to be. But you can't. You've got to fight the good fight of faith to overcome that. Glory to God. We got to fight the temptations of the flesh. We got to fight against thoughts. You got to fight against fear. Did you know you can't give in to fear? If you don't fight against fear, it will take over your life. And you know, sometimes people want to codify fear. It's like, oh, make me feel comfortable. I don't want to be scared. Here, do this. Want people to do things so they won't have a reason to be afraid. But that's not what you need. What you need is to stand against fear. Resist the fear. Refuse to give in to fear, because if you don't fight against fear, it will take a hold of you. As a matter of fact, fear gives the enemy power in your life. I remember when Hunter was being born, my grandson, and I was at the hospital. And I was sitting in there and I was praying for Stephanie, and she was back in there and she was about to deliver. And I, all at once, just out of the blue, this fear just come over me and said, something bad is going to happen to today. This fearful thought, and it was just like a foreboding of darkness just overwhelming my mind. And it was almost like it was prophetic. It was almost like I just knew it was going to happen. Something bad was fixing to happen. It was fear. And so, all at once, I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And I was thinking about bad things happening. And all at once, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And He said, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to make it happen. He said, resist this in the name of Jesus. And when He said that to me, all at once, I said, no, in the name of Jesus, this is not going to happen. Everything's going to be all right. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and He said, it had already begun. He said, when you go back there, you're going to find out that something had already started happening because of what you were doing out here. And so when I went in there, I said, how did everything go? And they said, everything's fine now, but they said, it wouldn't start with. They said, when he was first born, it said the doctors started running around, nurses all come running in there and grabbed him, and they was all working with him and everything like this, and then all at once, it just straightened out. And I said, I know that was exactly what happened. It was because I was letting fear motivate me and move me, and I was giving the devil a place to work there. And see, sometimes people think fear, they think they have a prophetic thing telling them something bad's going to happen. I remember a lady come to my church one time, and she went down to the altar, and she was boo-hooing and screaming and crying and just taking on like somebody had died. And I said, what's wrong? She said, the Lord told me my son's going to die. I said, the Lord didn't tell you that. She said, yes, he did. I said, no, he didn't. And the reason I know that, he's still alive. She's dead. That's been 30 years ago. Last I heard, he was still alive. But see, I told her, I said, this ain't God. And then finally, after I made her believe it, she finally overcome it. But the thing of it was, she thought it was a prophetic thing telling her that. But fear will try to do that to you, to try to get you to give in to it. Don't give in to fear. Resist fear. And healing for your body. Did you know that if you believe God and stand against sickness and disease in your body, that you can be healed? Sometimes we give up too soon. Sometimes you can be praying for healing and you're right on the verge of getting healed, and all at once you just drop your faith and you go back, flip back to doubt and unbelief. If you keep on fighting, keep on believing, you will win. Even with oppression and depression. Did you know when you feel depressed and oppressed, you know what you ain't supposed to do? You ain't supposed to give in to it. You ain't supposed to go lock yourself in a dark room and close all the curtains and sit in there and cry. Go call somebody that laughs and jokes and go some words and get out and face it. Get out and do the opposite of what it's telling you to do. Don't give in to it, because if you give in to it, it only has more power in your life, and it'll keep you there. But when you make up your mind that I'm going to fight against this thing, I'm not going to let this... Because the cure for it is when you start feeling depressed, get in the presence of God. Just get in the presence of God. Just start worshiping God. Start praising God. Get in His Word. Go to a revival. Do something that gets this stirred up inside of you. You know, I remember when I first got saved, you know, used to we called it backsliding, when people would go back on God and quit serving God and just go backwards. But, you know, and so I had backslid one time, and when I come back to the Lord, it was like the Lord put something inside of me that any time I would start feeling myself getting cold, a little bit cold in God, all at once something, it would be like a bell ringing inside of me, and it would say, it's time to fast, it's time to pray, it's time to go to church, it's time to listen. You know, it was just like this bell would wake me up. I mean, it's like I knew it was time to start doing something. And so every time I start getting cold in God, I said, I don't ever want to get back like I was before, because I had quit fighting and I just let myself go with the flow, and it carried me back out into the world. And so every time I start feeling myself starting to get cold in God, all at once I start fasting, I start praying, and all at once the life of God would come inside of me and get stronger again. And so you fight. And then, you know, sometimes the devil will use people to hurt your feelings or discourage you. You know, sometimes you can be doing good and all at once somebody will come along and say something to you and hurt your feelings, make you mad or whatever, and it makes you want to not go forward. People used to get mad and they didn't want to go to church. I ain't going to church tonight. You done made me mad. You know, that's exactly what the devil wanted. You've got to fight the good fight of faith by going forward and not going backwards. Sin will weaken your resolve to fight. It corrupts your faith, taints your testimony, and corrupts your conscience. How many knows that if you're living in sin or you're practicing sin on a daily basis, all it does is weakens your faith. It weakens your resolve to fight. It's almost like the devil has bribed you. You know, it's like a cop, when a cop receives a bribe from a criminal or some politician or somebody that's bribing them because they're wanting to look the other way. It's almost like that with sin. It's like when the devil comes along, he knows if you're sinning, he's done bribed you. He's got something on you. And so he feels like that he has power over your life because of that. But how many knows that when you walk in righteousness and you walk in truth, the devil can't touch you? When you walk in the love of God and you walk in the Spirit of God, the Bible said the wicked one toucheth him not. And there's a place that we can walk in God. But you know what? That's why we need to be encouraged. We need, our faith needs to be encouraged. When we get in church and somebody testifies and says, glory to God, I overcome the devil today, I overcome this or overcome that, you know what it does? It gives you hope that if they did it, I can do it. Because the opposite's true. When you hear people talking about, woe is me, everything's bad's happened, you got to fight against it. You got to fight against negative reports. You got to fight against wrong thinking. How many knows that somebody can be telling you all the good things, but if you're thinking all the wrong things, it ain't going to help you? Somebody can be saying, oh yeah, you need to do this, this, and this, but in your mind you're thinking, but I'm going to do this, this, and this. Or you're thinking negative thoughts. You're thinking stuff. You got to bring, the Bible says, bring every thought subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't bring your thoughts in the line, those thoughts will carry you away off in the direction, the wrong direction that you're supposed to go. Glory to God. Faith is identified with Christ. That's why when he said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, this word faith, really, it's all-encompassing, really. It means, faith means your whole life in God. It's hard to describe the word, but this particular word, it's more than just believing something. It's your life. It's the power of God. It's all the things of God encompassed in faith. But anyways, when you're living by faith, you're living by the Spirit of God. Faith is identified with Christ. Fear is identified with the old man. Doubt and unbelief. And see, did you know that most of the time we call people what they do? If somebody's a carpenter, we say, they're a carpenter. If somebody's a truck driver, we say, they're a truck driver, because that's what they do. If somebody's a waitress, we say, well, they're a waitress. But what we do identifies us. If I'm letting the old man live through me, I'm going to have attributes from the old man, like fear, doubt, anger, bitterness, unbelief, jealousy, lust, pride, all these things. All that stuff is the old man. If I'm walking after the new man, I'm going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. See, and so the way you can tell which one you're walking after is what kind of fruit you've got. If you've got fruit that's coming from the new man, it means you're walking after Christ. But if you've got fruit that's only coming from the old man, it means you're not walking after Christ, you're walking after the old man. And see, sometimes our worst enemy is our own self. You know, it's the old man. Because what we want to do is we want to dress up the old man, take him to church, and try to make him like, well, he's a pretty good old man. He's a pretty good old guy. No, he's not. We got to die to the old man. We have a new identity. And the thing of it is, I don't think we've ever really realized just how much power we have in our true identity. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He said, they shall mount up on wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that word wait there means to become one with. See, the more one you become with God, He said, you shall run and not be weary. He said, you'll walk and you won't faint. But there's a place of rest in God to where that even though you're fighting, you're not tired. There's a place, how many would like to be in a place to where that you can fight and it not even make you tired? You can fight all day long and it don't even affect you, because God is your strength. God is your strength. And I want to, there is a place that we can walk and where we can dwell at in God to where that even though you're going to church, you're worshiping God, you're fighting the devil all the time, but it don't wear you out. I remember I used to go to the jails back when I first started pastoring. Or before I started pastoring, I was going to the jails. And sometimes when I'd get to the jails, I'd just be so tired. When I'd get there and I'd think, oh gosh, this is going to be rough today because I'm so tired. And then I'd go in that jail and I'd preach all the way through the bottom jail. And then I'd go to the second floor and preach all the way through to the back floor and go back to the bullpen and then come back out. And then I'd leave and go home. And when I'd come out of that place, I'd feel so rested. I think, man, I feel so good. I said, I just preached for 3 hours straight, and I'm not even tired. But it was because the anointing of God, there's a rest in God. And see, the more that we can walk and live in His life, the more the rest of God we can have. And what we can have, the Bible says, the battle's not yours, the battle is the Lord's battle. And see, that's where it comes in. That's where faith is. God is going to fight the battles for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But God's wanting to put the fight back in you. And if we want God to put the fight back in us, the number one thing is we've got to be full of the life of God, which is love. How many knows that if you want to get back to where your strength is at, the first thing you got to do is to start walking after the love of God. Start loving people and start loving God, and let love rule your life and everything. Repent of wrong thinking and wrong ways. Identify who the old man is and identify who the new man is, and go after the new. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray and believe and trust in God. Turn loose of hurts of past wrongs in your life. Don't hold on to anything that people's done to you. Let it go, because it's pulling you back. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. Encourage yourself in the Lord, as David did. Rehearse past victories. Rehearse the things that God has done. You know, sometimes when I hear somebody telling me that something that God done, when he maybe used me to help somebody, and they tell me what had happened in their life, and you know what it does? It encourages me. It's like, hey, if he did it once, he can do it again. God wants to encourage you. Have an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. Glory to God. An act of faith can cause a supernatural event. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I want to just encourage you tonight. If the enemy has taken your fight out of you, God wants to give you the fight, put the fight back in you. He wants to put the fight back in you, but we've got to cooperate with him. And it's not as hard as we think it is. You know, sometimes we think, I just got to try harder. No. See, sometimes we get to a place where we think we can't handle anything else. We're just wore out and tired. And then when somebody says, you need to do this, we say, oh, Lord, not another thing I need to do. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about that God wants to give you rest. And He wants to fill you with His Spirit and fill you with a new fight, put a new will to fight inside of you. But there's something about your will. If you ever give up fighting, if you lose the will to fight, let me say it like that. If you lose the will to fight, you're going to be defeated. God wants to give you the will to fight. And that's, you can change that. You can change that. You can change your will. You can say, okay, this day I make up my mind, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to take back what the devil stole from me. Glory to God. And if you will do that, if you make up your mind, if you change your will, it's just like when you repent of your sins and you go to the altar. When you go to that altar and repent, you know what it is? There's a change of mind. There's a change, there's a way you're changing, you're repenting of the past and you're making up your mind, you're going forward. Glory to God. And God begins to strengthen you from that minute on. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Glory to God. Father, we just